So let's turn to Acts 6. Let's turn to Acts 6. I want to read Acts 6 to you, and then I want to just take out some observations for us, for me and you. And I want you to keep in mind, we're picking up our cross, and we're taking our cross and following Jesus. What does our life then, as we look at the life of Stephen, very briefly, what does our life, what should it have? What does it look like? What should we do? Verse 1, in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, okay, so now remember, we're in the book of Acts. Jesus Christ has been crucified. The church has started. We see the Holy Spirit doing some wonderful things in the early church. In fact, if you see the growth of the church at that point was astronomical. And it was just people being added. When they heard, they responded. And then they spoke and testified, and others responded. And so we're in that time between Peter in the historical context here and Paul. And so we see the church is growing. And it says, in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, there rose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. So we're talking the New Testament church, the early church. We have problems, folk. We have problems. The Hellenistic Jews were having problems with the Hebraic Jews. That group was having problems with that group. You're not taking care of our widows like you're taking care of those widows. So those problems of them versus them, group versus group, nationality versus nationality, have always been here, even in the church back then. The 12 summoned the whole company, verse 2, of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a convert from Antioch. And they had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. In verse 7, so the word of God spread, the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to faith. Now verse 8. Now Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from some members of the Freedmen's Synagogue, composed of both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Sicilia and Asia. And they began to argue with Stephen. So there was some discourse going on. And our guy Stephen was standing strong. But they were unable to stand up against his wisdom and the spirit by whom he was speaking. Then, verse 11, they secretly persuaded some men to say, we heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, so they came, seized him, and took him to the Sanhedrin. Sound familiar? They stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, so they came, they seized him, and they took him to the Sanhedrin. Verse 13. They also presented false witnesses who said, this man never stopped speaking against the holy place and the law. For we heard, verse 14, we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us. So they still had these sacred cows, right? They still held on to some stuff. They weren't changing. They didn't listen to what Jesus were. They were throwing these things out there. And verse 15, and all those who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, That has to be the epitome of understatement there. If you consider what's going on, he looked like the face of an angel. And if you continue to read in chapter 7, so on and so forth, you see that he gets killed. The fact that he's the first martyr in the church. So here are the observations that I want to share with you as you consider, what is your life? How should it look when you're taking up your cross to follow Jesus? The first consideration, Stephen's life was full of faith, the Holy Spirit, grace, and power. Stephen's life was full of faith, the Holy Spirit, grace, and power. So I have a question for you. It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. What is your life full of? What is your life full of? The scripture here says Stephen was full of faith in the Holy Spirit, grace, and power. As you consider taking up your cross and following Jesus, how hard is it? Because your life may not be full of those things. How difficult is it? How much of a challenge is it for you? Because your life is not full of faith. It's not full of grace. Maybe it's filled with hatred. Maybe it's filled with retribution. Maybe it's filled with sadness. Maybe it's filled with other things other than what the scripture says our life should be full of. Faith. How is your faith? The Holy Spirit in grace and power. And I just ask you, as you contemplate what I'm saying today, what is your life full of? Number two, Stephen performed deeds among the people. So Stephen's life was full of faith and the Holy Spirit and grace and power. So before you see anything else from Stephen, you see what is in Stephen. We see where Stephen's focus is and how then he is able to, number two, perform deeds among the people. And he's only doing that because that's what Jesus does, church. Jesus does work among the people. And he is calling us. He's calling me. And he's calling you. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how feeble you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care how ugly you are. Because some of you may say, well, I'm not real good looking or I'm not eloquent. Doesn't that sound familiar? It doesn't really matter. We are being called with that same charge to do what Jesus is doing. Stephen was doing deeds among the people. That means, church, that we have to go among the people. That means we have to get up. We have to stand up. We've got to pray and we've got to call on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus is going to respond, I'm going among my people who need me, and I want to take you with me. That's what Jesus is doing. That's why Stephen was doing that. What deeds are we performing then? Are we not doing anything? Are we like Pastor Chan was saying, are we here? Do we come to church to be entertained? Do we come to church to just hear a good word? To just hear a good word? Because I hope you're hearing a good word. I want you to hear a good word. We want you to hear a good word. God wants you to hear a good word. But is that all you are doing here today? Well, I'm going to go on Sunday, and as my tradition is, I'm going to church. I'm going to get my praise on, and then I'm going to come and hear a good word. Is that what Jesus is calling us to do? And I ask, what deeds are we performing? What are we doing? Like Vanita said, and like I was thinking, we can't be the same. We can't. We can't just sit here and read Jesus' words and read the testimony of folks who testify about Jesus and be the same.
We can't open up our eyes and see the fallen world and see how God so loved the world that he gave Jesus and be the same. We can't. We can't sit here and be the same. New Life Fellowship. We can't come here and be the same, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you want to call yourself. We can't come here to be the same. Number three, Stephen possessed wisdom and spoke by the Spirit. Stephen possessed wisdom and spoke by the Spirit. So I ask you another question. What do you possess? What are you holding on to? And by what Spirit do you speak? What do you possess? What motivates you? And what Spirit are you speaking? You see, Stephen was being falsely accused, and he had all these folk, these learned people, come and spoke against him in the way. But because he possessed wisdom, and the wisdom that comes from God, and he spoke by the Holy Spirit, you know, there's no answer to the words of the Holy Spirit. There's no answer. There's no victory against Jesus. In Jesus, we have all the victory. Jesus said, it is finished. So by him, there is nothing to be concerned. There's nothing to be overcome. In Christ, he's already overcome that. So are we speaking in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit? Or do we speak from the Spirit of, well, our own thoughts? God has already told us, but my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. Are we giving God the preeminence in our lives? Are we holding him as the top priority in our lives, as the measure by which we say and do and think about everything, including the things that we see on TV and the things that we hear on the radio and the conversations that we hear and all the issues that we see in this world, the brokenness that sometimes get under our skin? By which Spirit do we speak? And finally, we see that Stephen lived in a peace that surpassed human understanding. So you see this process as Stephen dwelled in the Spirit, even though he's being falsely accused, just like Jesus was. Even though he was brought before the Sanhedrin and falsely accused, just like Jesus was, he had the countenance of a man who knew all is well with my soul. The problems we have as the church sometimes is that we don't operate in the giftedness of our faith and in the spirit of grace and in power. We act like we've lost. We act like we don't know. We act like we haven't read the book. We haven't read Jesus' word. We don't know who Jesus is. And so our lives and our worlds revolve around something that's just not true in our lives. What is the truth? God's word is truth. God's word is truth. But sometimes, even as a church, we don't operate and understand and work from that perspective. Things cannot be the same. You and I cannot be the same. We can't really be all that comfortable when we see what's going on and we hear what Christ has called us to. There's got to be an anxiety that stirs us up, and it's something that the Spirit does, that says, if you take up your cross and follow Jesus, Jesus' cross wasn't one of comfort. It wasn't one of rest. It wasn't one of doing what he wanted to do, because if you know who Jesus was, Jesus only did what the Father wanted him to do. What do you do? What does New Life Fellowship do? What do I do? Do we do what Jesus Christ wants us to do? Do we follow his admonition? This quick look at Stephen's life reminds us of just how important it is to reprioritize the things we pray for on a daily basis. So when I was reading and praying about this, the one thing that stood out for me about taking up my cross and following Christ is it changes the way, and it should change the way we pray. The way we pray. Do we ask the Father for faith? Do we ask the Father for to fill us with the Holy Spirit? And Pastor T prayed that prayer over Hannah. He asked that for her. And I was like, how does he know? The Spirit knows, Hannah. The Spirit knows. Do we pray about that? Do we pray to be filled with the things and possess the things of Christ? Do we pray to speak from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not our own spirit? Do we pray about that? Do we wake up every morning and say, Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am in awe of you. I need more of you so that I can live in this world, so that I can take up my cross and follow you and testify of you. To take up our cross and follow Jesus is a daily reminder of our need of Jesus and the things he has: faith, grace, power, and the Holy Spirit. Ask for this. Pray for this. To take up our cross and follow Jesus is a daily reminder of Jesus' priorities, plans, and purposes. Ask for this. And to take up our cross and follow Jesus is a daily reminder of the call on our lives to live a life that testifies of Jesus. Not of one of club membership. Well, I belong here. Or authority. I'm the head of this ministry. But it's the one that testifies of the life of Jesus. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus do? What does Jesus want? Melvin and I'll end here. Melvin and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about the men's ministry. And again, I've been thinking about this in a lot in terms of even in the ministries in our church, even what we do as ministries and how we, our mental approach to those things. And I've been praying about this. And Melvin happened to, we were talking, he was talking about the men's ministry and they're thinking about making some changes. And I think the Spirit sort of led us to say and conclude this. Why don't we, instead of worrying about a program, about how to get more membership in this group, more participation, why don't we focus on doing the things that Jesus wants this unique group of men in New Life Fellowship to do, right? And to follow Jesus. And let everyone else see that we're going to follow Jesus as a men's ministry here at New Life Fellowship. Women's ministries, what if instead of us trying to think about all these different ways to get along and be along and to do this and do that, what if we just pick up our crosses and follow Jesus? What kind of ministry would that be? As a unique group of people here in New Life Fellowship, ladies and young ladies and girls, how beautiful would that be? In our young people, how beautiful would it be if we simply just focused on learning about who God is so that we can know how to take up a cross and follow him? Then the purposes and the plans that Jesus Christ has for us and for this world then starts to shine and radiate in our lives, right? That's the stuff that's attractive to everyone else. That's the stuff that this world is so broken really needs. That's the stuff that they need. They need Jesus. And Jesus has invited us, like I'm about to invite you to the table. He invites us to go with him, to take up our cross and follow him. So as we come to the table, I want to encourage you to don't be the same. Don't be the same. Let's read and listen to the words of Jesus Christ, who admonishes us, who encourages us and says, follow me. So when we follow him, that means he's there. We don't have to worry about doing this on our own. So let's take up our cross and follow Jesus.